Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. This will be our text for the evening. When we look at this particular chapter of Exodus, we find therein in this passage here, in these verses, five great lessons that every church and every Christian should know. We're going to take our time this evening and discuss these things together, and study them together. And hopefully, as we study these things with open hearts and with open minds, we can glean some things here that may help us to better serve our Lord. In Exodus chapter 13, the Israelites are about to leave Egypt, or they're in the process of leaving Egypt. And in Exodus 13, it is here that the Passover is told to them that it is to be observed on a yearly basis. It is to be a reminder to them as to how they came out of Egypt. And as we read this particular chapter, we're going to read it through together. And then as we go through our study tonight, we'll again go back and look at a few verses, just a couple at a time, and see exactly what we learn from this particular passage, from this chapter. Let's read together Exodus chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be any levers, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass that thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. As we read together here, did you notice some things maybe that we can learn today and apply to us today that may help us better serve God? Number one great lesson that we can read and that we can glean from Exodus chapter 13 is that God demands the first fruits. Notice again verse 2, as well as verses 12 and 13. Sanctify me, the Lord says. That is, set these things apart. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. The Lord says, it is mine. Well, friends, how might we take that and apply that to us today? We might simply ask, friends, are we giving our best to the Lord? Are we truly giving our best to the Father? In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, the Proverbs writer says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We may look at it like this, friends. When the plate is passed on Sunday morning, are we digging around and take our wallet out or maybe our purses and we look and see what we've got left at the end of the week and we just take what's left there and put it in the plate? And friends, if that's the case, that ought not so to be. Because if we're going to serve the Lord as we ought to serve Him, what He gets ought to come right off the top. That is, when I get whatever it is that's coming to me after a long week of working hard, then when I sit down and I do my budget or I do my checkbook, the first thing that ought to come out is what I'm giving back to the Lord. It belongs to Him. What about my time? Am I going to put the things that the church is doing together first on my plate, so to speak? Or is it going to be, well, you know, I've got something else going on. I'm just too busy to see that gets done this week. What about our attitude in everyday life? Is what we're doing reflecting God properly? Turn with me to Malachi. You see, the Israelites, even after coming out of imprisonment, keep a finger there or mark Exodus 13 because we're coming back. Well, let's go to Malachi chapter 3 very quickly. They had been taken away into captivity for 70 years. God finally broke them of idolatry. But instead of idolatry, notice what takes place here in Malachi 3 and verse 8. We're still going to serve God, but we're not going to give Him our best. It's basically the Israelites' attitude here. We're going to go through the motions. We'll give God something, but it's not going to be what He deserves. Notice verse 8 with me. Will a man rob God? And they say, how have we robbed you? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings is the Lord's response. Now, friends, if you go through and you read Malachi chapter 3, here's what's taking place. They were offering the lame and the sick unto the Lord. The Lord goes so far as to say, you would not even offer these sheep, these lambs, whatever it was that they were offering, you would not even offer these to your governor if he came to your house for dinner. You wouldn't serve him this. And yet you give it to the Almighty. You give it to God. They weren't giving the first fruits. So friends, does God get our best? God demands our best. He demands our first fruits. That's one great lesson that we can take away from Exodus chapter 13. Number two, as we study this particular chapter, we learn a very, very important lesson here concerning our worship. In verses 3 through 10, we learn a little bit about purity. And friends, as we study this chapter together, we see that purity in life precedes preparation for worship. Purity in life precedes preparation for worship. Now, in verses 3 through 10, we read there of the leaven. They were not to have any, they were not to eat any leavened bread. They were not even to have any leavened bread with them at any time. They were not so much as to have any leaven in their house at all. And the property here of leaven, Jesus uses leaven one time. God uses leaven one time in all of the Bible in a positive manner. Every other time it represents something evil. And so in this particular instance, again, it represents corruption, evil. And he says it's not even to be in your house. Friends, what can we take away from that? As they were to eat unleavened bread for 7 days leaven was not even to be in any of their quarters. It wasn't, I mean, they couldn't even have it stored aside for later use. It was to be completely gone. They were to remember in all of its purity what God had done for them. How many times, friends, and as we talked about a little bit this morning in our Bible class hour, how many times do we talk to people who claim to know God, who claim to be followers of Christ, and yet don't show it in their lives? In a manner of speaking, they're eat up with leaven. The world is in them to the point that they're not ready to worship our Creator. I want you to turn with me to a couple of passages in 1 Corinthians. And I want you to notice a couple of things here with me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice with me verses 6 through 8. Now, what's taking place here in 1 Corinthians 5 is that a young man had his father's wife. And they were, the Corinthian church was glorying in this. They were overlooking this sin. And so as Paul's about to point out, they had leaven in their midst and they were to purge it out. They were to get rid of it. Look at this, beginning of verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Friends, are we living in such a way that we are prepared to worship God at any time? If not, we ought to be. We are to be pure. When Jesus presents the church to the Father upon the last day, how does he refer to it in the book of Ephesians? He wants to offer it up to God spotless, blameless. He wants to offer it up to God pure. Well, friends, if I am a member of the Lord's church and I represent the Lord's church, should I not also be pure and ready to worship our Creator? In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 21, we read there that we cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Now, Corinth was known for all of the different gods that they worshipped, especially the temple of Diana being there. Or Aphrodite, rather. Diana was an Ephesus. But they had this temple of Diana, and in its employ at any given time was about 1,000, quote, using this word loosely, priests and priestesses. What they actually were prostitutes in worship to this so-called god. And they had all these offerings that were made, meat offerings and such like, that were made unto these different gods. And that's what Paul's referring to in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You had some people that wanted to continue to worship their idols and over here go worship God. And Paul said you can't have it both ways. You can't be partakers of the Lord's table. Friends, we cannot be partakers of the world and be partakers of the Lord's table. Can't have it both ways. We have to remain pure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27 through 30, Paul concludes there that we must examine ourselves and not partake of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ in any way that would bring reproach. Notice with me there, 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Friends, do we sanctify the Lord in all that we do? Purity in life precedes preparation for worship. That's another great lesson that we can take from Exodus chapter 13. Number three, As we read Exodus 13 and we study this, we see that spiritual instruction belongs primarily to the home. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? In our worship hour. Spiritual instruction belongs primarily to the home. You know, too often when our children are biblically ignorant, who do we lay the blame upon? Too often we lay it upon the Sunday school teacher, the one that teaches our child on Wednesday night. Friends, it's not their fault. They get 2 hours, or actually about 80 minutes a week. About an hour and 20 minutes a week to try to teach all that they can to our children. That's simply not enough time. Spiritual instruction belongs primarily to the home. Notice again verses 8 and 9. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. We see the same thing in verses 14 through 16. As the father goes out and the firstborn of a donkey is born there, and maybe he doesn't want to redeem it, or maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't want to redeem it, and he goes out and the donkey is to be a working animal. And he doesn't want it to cost him one of his prized lambs, so what he does, so that he's not going to have this donkey to work with anymore, he breaks his neck. And his son is standing there. Daddy, why? Why would you do this? There's a teaching moment there. The father can then explain what God did for them as they came out of Egypt and why God had commanded these things. Whatever the case may have been, there was a teaching moment. We read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7 this morning. And friends, we go back to Deuteronomy 6 and we look at verses 7 through 20, and even there is even further instruction on how the men and women were to teach their children at home. We read Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 concerning raising our children. Fathers were not to provoke their children to wrath. Children were to obey their parents because this is right in the Lord. And friends, parents are to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Notice there that Paul does not tell the Ephesians, he does not say there that the Bible school teachers are to raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It belongs to the parents, that responsibility does. Spiritual instruction belongs primarily to the home. And friends, that's something that we all as parents and as grandparents need to do better at fulfilling, is teaching our children the statutes and principles of God's Word. Number 4, as we read Exodus chapter 13, a great lesson that we see here is that God is going to lead us in the best paths. In verses 17 through 19, we see there that God had an option. He could have taken Israel up through kept them on the coast there. They wouldn't have had to part the Red Sea and pass through that. They wouldn't have had to march through the wilderness. They wouldn't have had to go through any of that. They could have gone straight up the coast, gone right into the land of the Philistines. But God didn't do that. Why? Notice again verse 17. He's going to take care of His people. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war. And they returned to Egypt. Now think about this, friends. For, 400 years or so, the people had been enslaved in Egypt. They were not warriors. They did not understand battle. So what do you think would have happened had they tried to go up and fight the Philistines with a bunch of pitchforks? Not happening. Even though God, and to an extent they realized that, but remember how quickly they forgot. Even though God was on their side, they see this battle and they see this great people. As a matter of fact, what was the 10 spies? What was their assessment of the land of Canaan and so of the Philistines? This is the land of giants. We are as grasshoppers in there. As a matter of fact, remember Goliath. What was Goliath? A Philistine. He was a Philistine. This is a land of giants. And so their heart would have failed when they saw these people that they were going to have to fight in order to dwell in this land. And so God is taking care of His people. He's preparing them to be able to enter the promised land. Friends, we learn a great lesson from this is that God is going to lead us. He's going to lead His people in the best paths. He's going to take care of us. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, we read these words. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest. Of course, we know the people didn't do that. They didn't seek the old paths. They didn't seek the good paths as God had tried to point them out to them. Let's turn briefly over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want us to notice verses 24 and 25 here. Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. Notice here in verse 24 what He says. He has commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Notice the next phrase. For our good always. Friends, the commands of God are not grievous. Peter said as much. He has placed these commands upon us for our good. Not to hold us down. Not to hold us back. Not as some young people may think, to keep us from having fun. They are there for our good. And friends, anybody that has lived the Christian life as he ought to live it will tell you there's no better life in this world than the Christian life. God is going to lead His people. He is going to lead us in the best paths. He's going to take care of us if we will but follow His commands. Finally, I want you to notice with me again verses 20 and 22. The fifth lesson that we learn from Exodus chapter 13 is that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Notice verse 22 now. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He wasn't going to leave them. He wasn't going to leave them to their own devices. He wasn't going to just throw them out in the world and say, fend for yourself, you sink or you swim. He stood by their side. He took care of them. Even when they rebelled against Him time and time again, did He not always come through in the end? When they cried out to God, asking for a Savior, asking for someone to be a judge between them and God, He always had someone there to take care of them. Notice, even in the New Testament, Hebrews 13 and verse 5, we read there, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Just think about that for a moment. Regardless of our state in this world, regardless of whatever it is that we may be going through, God is always by our side. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 20 there, after He has given the Great Commission, He says to His disciples, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or end of the age. But friends, that wasn't just to His disciples, as they were to teach others also. What He says there applies to us as well. Christ, God, will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Everyone else around us can fail. We put our trust in men, and they fail us every day. It doesn't matter. They may be the best person on earth. They're going to fail at some point. They're going to turn and run maybe when we need them the most. But friends, God is always there. Paul said that all forsook him in his first defense. But what got him through? He said God got him through that ordeal. Friends, to whom do we turn when everyone else is left? When we have no one else? We ought to turn to God, to His Word. We learn some great lessons from the Old Testament. We learn some great lessons from Exodus 13. And hopefully through our study tonight, we can take these things and better serve our Lord and our Savior. Remember, friends, that God always, always, always demands our best. He demands the first fruits. Purity in life precedes preparation for worship. Spiritual instruction belongs in the home. God will lead us in the best paths, and God will never, ever leave us or forsake us. Let's take these lessons, apply them to our lives, and be sure, friends, that we're living for our Lord. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friend, are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, there's no better time than the present. There's no better time than right now to obey what the Lord God says that we must do in order to be saved. We read in His Word that one must hear the Word of God, believe it with all his heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Repent of our sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, coming in contact there in that water with His blood. Would you do that this evening? To arise again to walk in the newness of life, giving your life forever to Him. Friend, are you here this evening having done so at some point in the past? Is there sin in your life even now? Would you repent? Would you be His again? He waits for you with open arms. Friends, we beg of you, come now while we stand and while we sing.